we need to worry about the effect of sound on marine life because sound travels so well in the ocean. As terrestrial animals, we use vision as our distant sense, so we can see distant stars. On land, we can see much farther than we can hear. But if you've ever gone scuba diving or snorkeling, you know you can only see a few meters in front of you. But you can often hear sounds that you can't even tell where it's coming from, much further than you can see underwater. In fact, low-frequency, loud noises can travel hundreds of kilometers in the ocean. And that means that the thousands of ships that ply the ocean are constantly injecting sound energy into the sea, and that elevates the level of noise over the whole planet. So to a human diver, we can't hear the sounds in the underwater very well because our ear is adapted to hearing in air. To most marine animals that move and need to sense things far away, they rely heavily on both producing sound and listening for echoes from the ocean and from prey, and for communicating with animals of other species or listening for predators in order to orient in their world. The first concern that was raised about the impact of noise on marine mammals was a relatively simple impact of the shipping noise elevating, just preventing whales and fishes from being able to communicate as far as they could. So we know blue or finback whales in a pre-industrial ocean could hear each other many hundreds of kilometers away. If they couldn't do anything about it, they might only be able to hear each other tens of kilometers, a big reduction in the range of communication in the current levels of noise. It does turn out that those animals can compensate for the noise, so really we have to worry there about how much more energy does it take to call louder or call more frequently. The other impact that people were concerned about next was the effect of injury, of being so near air guns used for seismic survey or a naval sonar, that animals might be physically injured by really loud sounds. And I think that we need to think of this more like an accident like ship collision, because it's only likely to occur pretty close to a big ship than the impact, say, of masking of the noise of whale calls by shipping noise. The studies on direct physical effects of sound for injury have shown for marine mammals that they're quite tolerant of loud sound. They echolocate themselves. Toothed whales make loud noises and then listen for echoes. And it turns out that they really are unlikely to be injured by direct exposure to sounds at distances of more than a few hundred meters from a very intense sound source. About the time that we learned this, how robust dolphins were to loud sounds, we got a signal from nature that was totally unexpected. Never before seen mass strandings of a group of whales called beaked whales. These are toothed whales about 5 to 7 meters long. We know them mainly from strandings because they live in deep water. They feed about a kilometer below the sea surface. And in fact, we know so little about them that new species are being discovered every decade. And imagine in this modern world, somebody comes out of the jungle of Africa or of Brazil and says, I've just discovered a new 5-meter species of mammal. But that happens routinely for these beaked whales. And starting about the 1960s, now looking backwards, we see that there have occasionally been these strange patterns of mass stranding in which a dozen or more beaked whales hit the beach within a few hours, but not in one group, scattered over tens of kilometers. And it turns out that these unusual strandings have been shown to coincide with naval sonar exercises. So it turns out that naval sonar, for some reason, triggers a reaction of these deep water animals that seems to cause them to panic and strand on the shore. And we've done experiments that we had to design very carefully not to injure the animals, to show what is the level of sound at which this behavior starts. And what it turns out is when these animals are foraging deep, if they hear a sonar at a very low level of sound, well below that would physically cause injury, that may cause them to change their dive behavior and show a strong avoidance reaction of the sort that might, in the context of a whole exercise, might not just carry them away from their deep water habitat, but cause them to strand. So these kinds of studies have allowed us to define for species at risk much lower thresholds of risk of death or injury. As humans have introduced very loud sound sources like the air guns used for seismic surveys or intense naval sonars, we are beginning to understand the impact on the short term of exposure of a loud sound to vulnerable animals. The area that we have understand less and have studied less is the sort of death by a thousand cuts scenario. What about for whole populations of marine organisms if an elevated sound level causes an elevated metabolic rate so they can't grow or reproduce as quickly? If whales that need to use sound for reproduction, the males and females can't hear each other over the same kind of range. What is the impact over decades as we slowly elevate the level of sound over the whole ocean on these populations? And I think as a species, we have to attend to this because we know that at some point we'll exceed a threshold that will sustain the most sensitive and vulnerable populations. And so we need to understand these subtle and difficult to study consequences in order to make sure we don't cause them inadvertently. I think MASS is in an unusual situation of allowing groups of scientists with very different perspectives, population modelers, marine biologists, acousticians, to form teams to do this kind of work. Most marine biologists are used to working in small groups. They like to go by themselves into the ocean and not be bothered by other people. But I'm afraid this problem is too large to be able to be addressed by the individual scientist. It requires large interdisciplinary teams with access to the sea, innovating new methods to collect data, and working in a variety of disciplines to understand how to analyze the data. I think the structure of MASS is beautifully set up, both to allow a new community to develop to study this problem, to help them get to sea, and then to form teams that can analyze these data.